Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back. Today's Friday, August 17th. Danny, we did take a day off yesterday.
I know.
Due to circumstances, I did not have to be here early, so I thought I'd sleep in a little bit.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Keep going,
and
get
I still did have enough sleep because I went to sleep at 4 that night because I figured, no, I don't have to get up early, right?
Yeah.
Although I go to sleep at 4 anyway, even if I get up at 7:30.
Right.
But last night, I was so fucking tired, I went to sleep at about 12:30. So I'm well rested.
That's good.
Of course, I still get up tired as hell, but who cares, right?
Right.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
So I saw you selling some of your stuff. You posted that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you selling?
A full length. Because remember I told you DHL sent one mirror and it was broken. So they sent me another one and that one came broken too.
Right.
So I'm selling the first one that was broken. And then I'm selling another Hollywood vanity mirror, my coffee table, and my bed.
Is that cool to sell? To sell, you got two of them.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you send them one back?
No, fuck you. No, I'm just kidding. They're a really good company. But, yeah. I mean, they already chuck an L on that, so it's mine.
That's true. It's yours.
Yeah, but I'm selling it broken.
Why not? Okay.
So I posted that it was broken, but we'll see. I've got like 1,000 people writing me, but I don't know if they're fans or...
Yeah, right.
Like, I just don't know if they want to have a conversation with me or they're actually interested. Sucks. Like, and I don't want to be mean, but it's like, don't waste my time either.
Right. So. Do you put ads on Craigslist and stuff too?
I did too, but everyone on Craigslist is, it's just not.
Really?
Yeah, it makes me feel like, you can't come here.
Really?
Like, there's no way you're coming to get this mirror. No way.
So you're saying all the weirdos are going to play on,
like someone was like, hey, can I just come get your mattress? Is it clean? I was like, what the fuck? Yes, it's clean.
Nobody's been on it for a long time, right?
They don't want the bed frame. They just want the mattress. I think that's weird.
Why? People are looking for mattresses.
I would never use a used mattress. But by all means, please come pay me for mine.
I know. People do, though.
Lucky for them, I'm not like a sexually active person. So it's not like there's anything on my mattress.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You know? Nobody sleeps on it.
Exactly. It's like literally a brand new mattress.
Well, in a few minutes, we're going to be joined by a guest. Believe it or not, the guest has shown up and he's here on time.
Yeah, that's
as
a
opposed to some other guests we've had before.
Mm-hmm.
And so it should be a fun show. And today's Friday. I'm excited.
Yep.
Do you have any big plans?
I'm going to San Diego for the first time tomorrow.
Oh, wow. In fact, I was planning on going there next weekend.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to finish filming.
Oh, okay.
So they're paying for my hotel and travel.
Nice.
I don't know what that means. I'm like, you have an Uber picking me up?
Yeah. Well, maybe
it's
going to
be a very expensive Uber.
Yeah. No, they'll give you gas money or something, probably.
I don't want to drive myself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's
take a freaking
horrible.
Plane or something.
Isn't it?
I mean,
can you take a plane?
A train. I think they have a plane to San Diego for
really?
Me.
Really? Because I'm wondering if that's what she meant. She's like, travel's accommodated for. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, who's picking me up?
Yeah, exactly. Clarify, please.
Yeah. Because I don't want like some like just random guy driving me down.
No.
Because what if he's like a killer?
It's not going to happen. Everybody in your book is a killer or,
yeah, literally.
Or a psycho.
I don't
right?
trust anybody. I really don't.
I know. Well, I don't blame you. You must see a lot of characters, you know. You know.
Yeah, but I asked him, like, can you give me, like, the lowdown, like, what part of San Diego I'm staying in? Because I want to be able to, like, go out by myself when I'm done filming.
Right.
Because I'm
going to
be
out.
In San Diego.
Right.
And I heard there's a lot of hot guys down there. So, like, I want to go sit at a bar. See who talks to me. Law and Order SVU episode coming right up.
Yeah, right. You do fun stuff, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking of checking out San Diego simply because I've been everywhere already.
Right.
There's nowhere to go. You
right.
know?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, only in the desert and, you know, like Joshua Tree. That's right. Where people go hiking in the desert.
Right.
What am I going to do there?
Mm. Not my. I do want to go to Joshua Tree, though.
Yeah.
But like, what do you do there besides hiking?
I don't know. Maybe there's a tree there and you come back. You
know? I don't know. Like, I don't want to hike, but I want to like see it and take pictures.
Yeah, I know.
Stay at a cool resort, maybe.
Then look it up on Google and see what they offer there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Mm-hmm. I know. It's funny how we forget we always have Google to go to, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes people do, you know what I mean? Because we can know anything we want in a split second. Who would have thought, you know?
I know.
Who would have thought it'd be that kind of a world? So just imagine 50 years from now, man. People will access the internet through their brain. I read a book like this, too, you know. This guy was able to surf the internet in his head. You know?
Right. Yeah. I feel like in 50 years from now, it's going to be... Did you ever read the book Fahrenheit 451?
Uh-huh.
Did you watch the remake movie?
No.
So they remade it for HBO or Stars. I forget which one. But I feel like that's what it's going to be like in 50 years.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like you can literally just talk to a microphone in your kitchen and right. be like, what is this? And they'll tell you.
Right.
But then it's just like when it comes to that, it's like you don't know if technology is going to be telling you what they want you to know or what's the actual truth. Because in there, if you get caught with books, you get like literally killed.
Right.
Yeah. Because they don't want you to know any information or like feelings or any type of shit.
Right. Right.
I'm like, that's probably what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
Everybody's well, kind of robotic.
There are still places like that, you know. I mean, if you go to like North Korea, you know, all these autocratic places where they don't allow you any of this stuff, you know. I mean, in China, look, everything is like Chinese controlled, you know.
Really?
So there's no Google there, there's no Amazon there, there's none of that stuff, you know, because they want to keep them contained in a certain box. So
that's weird,
you know. Yeah, but so
it's not on my bucket list of places to go, that's for sure.
Yeah,
no thanks.
Like in communist countries and stuff, they used to have a lot of restrictions, you know.
Yeah.
So there you are. Let's see. Madonna is turning 60 today.
Yeah, she's she uploaded a video yesterday
to
social media, and I was like, wow.
Really?
Yeah, she looked really good.
She does, for 60 years old, mm-hmm. for any age, really.
Angela Bassett just turned 62, and she looks fantastic.
Yeah. Do you think they've had work
no.
done?
Madonna, maybe. Angela Bassett, no. She looks exactly how she did 30 years ago.
Wow.
And she's got, like, abs. I'm
really?
Like, what the hell? Who is your coach?
Yeah.
I need to hire him. She looks really good, though.
I know. Well, that's pretty cool. And, well, I'm almost 62, so I'm joining that club myself.
My mom just turned 61.
Shit. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Does she look good?
Yeah.
61?
Yeah.
No, I mean, yeah, what are you going to say?
She doesn't look like Angela Bassett, but she looks good.
Yeah, I know. Well... Yeah.
You know what? Stress and broken heart can do a lot to you.
That's true, right?
Mm-hmm. Because my dad looks like he's 42 and he's about to be 57. I'm like, look how that works, Dad.
Oh, well, I guess, yeah, if you carry a lot of stress with you, it might
be. He told Gabby that he's not speaking to me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because you told him about the songs.
Yeah.
About the singing. Wow.
Yeah, she just told me yesterday. He's like, he came
ask
home.
Him, what did you want me to tell you, Dad?
I feel like I'm not going to, because I'm stubborn. Like, I won't talk to you until I fly home and I see you in person.
Right.
That's how stubborn I am.
Yeah, if he stops talking to you.
Yeah, he didn't even respond back. So he told Gabby that I hurt his feelings and he no longer wants to talk to me.
Really?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
I'm like, I'm your daughter.
Yeah.
And you can't love me any less for protecting you.
Yeah, for being honest with you. What the hell?
But he's taking it as me and Marquise, which is my brother, because Marquise was the first one to tell him. And he stopped talking to Marquise. But him and Marquise kind of like faded out after my dad left my mom.
Yeah.
My brother just didn't respect that. So they kind of like had a falling out over that.
Yeah.
And then my brother hit him with the will. You can't sing.
Yeah.
And that it just kind of went even further downhill from there.
Oh, God.
But he like is putting me in the same category as Marquise.
Right.
I'm like, I'm not in the same category. I've always had your back, therefore you should be listening to me.
Right. No, that's terrible. I mean, if he doesn't sing well, to tell him that he does is terrible, you know. He's not a kid anymore. You know, to kids, you can tell them, oh, you're doing great. You know?
Yeah.
But when you're a
grown-ass man.
Yeah.
You're literally a grown-ass man, Dad.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to need you to man up, boss up, and take it. Like, when he was acting, I was his biggest cheerleader. I really thought, like, he could be, he could make it even as an older black man.
Right.
And like he stopped doing that to get into singing. And I was like, no, like even from the beginning, I was like, no, yeah. like you should be acting.
Yeah.
Nope. So now he's not talking to me. It's been like a week.
Ah, terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I talk to my dad like at least 3-4 times a week.
I know.
So
that's
I haven't
terrible.
Even.
So you're missing that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always going to love him. I'm going to let him be mad.
Right.
But I'm not going to hit you up first. Like, yeah. you need to get over it and then call me and ask me how I'm doing.
Right. He'll come around. Mm-hmm. Just be patient.
Yeah.
And just before we bring on our guest right now, we need to pay respect. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Aretha Franklin, dead. How old was she?
76.
Really?
Or 73. What you want, baby, I got what you need.
So they're doing a tribute concert for her. They planned this months before death. She's a genius. Just a little bit. Aretha Franklin, dead, leaving us behind, but with a lot of great music. And we'll love her forever, I guess. I don't know anybody that doesn't like Aretha Franklin, so there you go.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, we're going to bring in our guest right now. Why did this suddenly become, like, kind of echoey? What happened to your microphone? I don't know. Welcome to the show. Get a little closer.
All right. There it is.
There it is. There's some weird noise, don't you think, in the background?
Yeah, it's fuzzy. Or like echoey. Like we just stepped into like a...
Oh, I see what happened here. Okay.
Yeah, that's better.
There we go. Yeah. Somebody messed around with our microphones. We're joined by Nick Arnett. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Great to be back. Third time.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Nick has been here many times.
Yeah, he was telling me.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So Nick likes to come here, so we have him come back. How have you been?
Really good.
Yeah?
Lots been happening. You're talking about people getting older.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did 60 this year.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
So, yeah, so somebody gives me this book for my birthday. 50 people. The book is titled, It's Never Too Late, You're Never Too Old, 50 People Who Found Success After 50.
Really?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm thinking, that's 50 people out of 7.5 billion yeah. people in the world that found success after. So that's like one out of every 150 billion people that found success after 50.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So that's one or two in the whole U.S. So I don't know, what's a sequel? A better title would be, still looking for success after 50?
Right.
Good luck with that one, huh?
Yeah,
right, right. Oh, well, you know.
But you still bought it and read it.
I'm still going for it. There's still a chance I could be one of those two people, right?
Yeah, legit.
The sequel could be...
Your mic a little bit so we can hear you better.
Okay.
So hold on just a second.
I thought I could hear him just
great
fine.
Great technical team.
Yeah.
There we go. We should have done this before we started.
So many things you were talking about that I wanted to chime in.
Okay.
Go for it.
Well, that's really interesting. Like you say, does your dad listen to this?
I hope not.
Okay.
I mean, he did in the beginning when I first started. He would like text me every day about the show and be like, wow. Because everyone in my family is always my biggest cheerleader. But my dad was actually like, hey, I listen to you and you're actually like you're so good on the radio. And
wow,
I'm like, yeah, I know.
Nice.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
So
and
I know in the
are.
Beginning he was listening. I don't know if he's still listening now. I mean, I know he has... I hate to say this. I hope my mom's not listening because she doesn't know yet. But I know he has a new girlfriend now.
Oh.
And I think that takes up a lot of his time. Because Gabby's getting conflicted with this because I have a twin sister and she has a 4-year-old. Mm. But her baby daddy's not in the picture. So my dad is basically
the father figure.
Right. And he's been slacking on the coming around because he's quote unquote busy now.
Yeah.
You know.
It does happen when you start relationships. You know, you don't have time for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah.
So he like used to sing when we were kids, and obviously when your dad's singing when you're a kid, you're like, yeah, like I love it so much. And then when you get older, you're like, no, you can't sing. And he's always been in a band, and none of us cared because we're like, whatever. If that's what makes you happy, that's what makes you happy.
Right.
But he's like investing money now, like paying people for shit he shouldn't be paying for.
Really?
Yeah, like thousands and thousands of dollars, mind you.
For what?
For like music editing.
Oh, okay.
Sending out his tapes, music videos. I'm like, wow, this is not. So he sent me a recording last weekend and goes, listen to it and tell me what you think. So I go, okay, I've been lying for like months now, but it's getting out of hand. So I text him. I go, Dad, I love you to death. And if this is what you do for fun, by all means, have fun. But don't be putting money into this because, unfortunately, you can't sing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he just didn't even text me back.
Well, you know what's very interesting about that? There's this phenomenon I just learned about in the past few months. It's called the Dunning-Kruger effect. Have you ever heard about that before?
No.
Remember William Hung on American Idol?
How yeah,
he
the
was
one
just
that
really
sang.
Horrible?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And every season there's somebody really bad and they go, but they actually think they're good?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the Dunning-Kruger effect.
Yeah.
And these are people that are actually, and this is in all phases of their life. They could be poor performing students, but you ask them how they did on the test and they'll think they did extremely well.
Really?
Right.
These people lack the resources to evaluate themselves or how they can actually get better.
Right.
So they actually think they're okay and that's a problem. And the other side of that are people that are really, really good at something that have this, think they're just very, very average.
Yeah, they don't see what they have.
So this could be some Dunning-Kruger effect.
Right. It got worse when my grandmother passed away, his mom. Yeah. I just kind of like spiraled after that. Right. Like it was just like.
Now you want to tell me all the people that work with him don't tell him he can't sing?
No, because they all want his money.
Yeah but still.
Right. It doesn't matter. If someone's paying you, even if it's a piece of shit, you're going to be like, yeah, dude, keep up the good work.
Right.
See you at the next session. Like, yeah, no. And it's like he posted a video on Facebook and I guess the comments were bad.
Really?
And then he sent it to a couple of his friends and one of them accidentally. I told you this, texted him, but thought he was texting somebody else and was like, is this guy fucking serious?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, with your family and then also your old friend saying that.
Right. You have to listen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he always thought, because my grandmother is like his biggest
fan.
Yeah. Like, so he always just said, you could do whatever you want, Joey. That's what she used to call him. And I think because she passed away, he feels like he has to do it now. And I'm like, you aren't gonna do it though.
Yeah.
Like it's not gonna happen. You're not gonna be accepting a Grammy in your lifetime, Dad. Like you cannot sing.
Wow.
Unfortunately so. And I hate to say it, it's not like I'm talking shit about him. It's just facts.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I'd like to be able to listen to that because now I'm curious, you know.
Yeah, me too.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean I can email it to you right now.
Can you play it on your phone maybe?
I can play it on your phone, but I don't know if.
Yeah, just hold it to the mic. Okay. Maybe we'll hear something.
Okay, hold on.
That would be funny, right?
No, not funny.
No,
don't
not
say funny.
Okay.
Because I don't want to make fun of him.
No, we're not making fun, but we're trying to see what you mean.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I mean, if it was just something he was doing for fun, I'd be like, yeah, go for it. But I think he's taking it. Okay, you guys ready?
Yeah.
I'm only going to pay like the first chorus.
Okay.
Can you hear it?
Yeah.
So far, so good.
Yeah. Well, it's not him singing. You're holding it the wrong way. Where your mouth is. Help me place this call. See the number on a matchbook is old and faded. She's living in L.A. with my best old ex-friend Ray. Danny, we're with you.
That can't be serious.
No,
it really is serious.
He's dead serious. And this is like my brother, my sister, and my mom have all sat down and like, we don't get it.
Right.
It sounds like somebody trying to make a parody of a bad song on
purpose,
right?
Yeah. It's almost like he's convinced himself that he's literally Elvis Presley and there's like no coming back from it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, let him deal with it then. There's only so much you can do. You can't control the situation.
Yeah.
But you love him, though.
Yeah, no, and I told him, when I texted him, I go, I don't love you any less because you're doing this. I'm telling you because I actually do love you. If I didn't give a shit about you.
Tell him you have a lot of talents, Dad, and singing is not the strongest one.
Yeah, but
I don't know how to tell you this, but yeah.
Highlight the other things that he does well, like you say, the acting thing, which is really tough.
And he's super funny. Like, he can literally walk into any party and the whole party will be about him. Oh. Like, he's just got, he's got that charisma about him. Like, right. whenever we have a family party, if he can't make it, all of us are like, well, we don't want to have the party. Like, it's just like, we don't want to, like, there's no party without dad, you know?
Wow.
But it's just, I don't know. It's yeah. like, I know I can't sing. I'm horrible at singing. Like, I don't try to sing.
Yeah.
Like, if I acted, if I, like, because I semi kind of want to act, but if I did like one or two movies and I watch myself back and I look like the people I talk shit about on the Hallmark Channel, yeah. I'm gonna say, well, Danny, this isn't for you.
Yeah, hang it up and go,
yeah, like,
go forward. Yeah.
Or stick to Lifetime, because you can always get a role if you're a shitty actor on Lifetime. Like, it's true, I love it, but I always say, like, I could do this for yeah. sure.
Well, for those of you just joining us, the voice behind the mic is Nick Arnett. Tell us a little bit about what you do, Nick.
Well, I actually do quite a few things, and I enjoy all of them. Part-time, I'm with a nonprofit in Los Angeles, Asian American Drug Abuse Program. I work with kids that are in recovery, teenagers, and I get them back into school and help them get caught up. And so that's my part-time, and that keeps me really balanced. And the other times, I do speaking engagements for businesses, and then I do auctioneering.
Really?
Yeah. Usually,
was that when you speak really fast?
Not that fast. I do mostly Chinese antiques. So yeah. It's like 15, 20, 25, 30. Bit to 15, 75. What do you say, 75? Sold things up to $2.5 million. It's crazy.
Really?
Yeah. Stuff. And
that's a lot of speaking.
6 hours or seven, no, nonstop. Seriously, because you always have to be talking, even when nothing's happening, to give the allure.
That's like popping.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want it to be quiet or
yeah,
anything.
So you just
yeah.
have to keep talking, and it's wow. really tiring. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Kind of exciting, though. But, yeah. But it is. And it
but you like
boring.
To talk, so that's fine, right?
Perfect gig for me. Perfect gig.
Now, what's the attraction to the Asian side of things? You just mentioned
just fell into
two
it.
Things, really. Just,
yeah, there was this thing on what, Gig Salad or Gig Mouth, you know how they have those things,
right,
and they were
yeah.
looking for auctioneers. So I had done a few fundraisers with my comedy.
Right.
But they weren't these kind of auctions.
I
but they
see.
Still right. gave me a chance. And I've gotten better at it. And I'm a house auctioneer for 2.5 auction houses here. I don't do every auction for one of them. And then another one in San Francisco, yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
And that's I do fundraisers. Cool.
Yo, I really enjoy it. It's exciting, yeah.
Yeah. Now, when you talk to businesses and stuff, what do you talk about?
I talk about how to have a great attitude, work as a team, keep your sense of humor. The thing about with your dad, I mean, there's so many times I wanted to chime in your first segment.
Right.
Because that's difficult, especially... when something happens, what can I do something about? What can I do nothing about? How can I?
Right.
What am I going to do with these negative thoughts? And then what are my options at this point? And maybe another way to approach your dad is I have some ideas. Or would you be open to, I know a great voice coach that since you like this so much, because I actually do know somebody that does that. If he is serious about it.
I feel like
he
just needs to let that go.
It kind of sounds like
yeah, like
it,
I feel
yeah.
like you just need to let it go. Like, there's so much, like, he could literally write a book about his life.
Yeah.
And, like, because he's had, like, a very interesting life. Like, he came over here when he was 8. Like, he's seen a lot. He's been through a lot. Like, do something else. Like, you have so many stories to tell. And, like, yeah. you could do it in a funny way. Because I got my personality from my dad, 110%. Not my mom. My mom is dry as a soap dish.
What do you think he wants out of the music?
We've sat down, we've thought about this, we've wondered about it. I don't understand it. He literally told me, like, he's going to be accepting a Grammy. And he is dead serious about it. Like, he's delusional.
Well, I've heard a similar story, though, with somebody.
Right.
And they went through all the you know, the trouble of putting it, and they were horrible, absolutely
yeah.
horrible. And I thought it was a joke, but
yeah.
it wasn't.
Yeah, first, and me and Gabby, like, and I hate to say it, but, like, we FaceTimed each other after he sent me that song. And I played it for her, and we were both pissing our pants. Like, we were pissing our pants. Because, like, you would think it was, like, a joke, but
you
then
see,
we...
that's terrible for him, because how do you take something like that? You know, how do you take criticism?
You can't.
Like,
you can't.
If you love singing, and you always think you sing well, and...
He can't, and he's never been able to handle criticism. Doesn't matter about what, he's just never been able to take it.
Well, obviously, I mean, if he's not speaking to you now, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's been a week, like a whole 7 days.
That's bad.
That's a long time.
Well, yeah. Unrelated, one thing that I think a lot of times the way we approach somebody with, like, for instance, if you go up to somebody and say, can I give you some constructive criticism? immediately they're going to tense up.
Yeah, yeah. Shoulders back.
Nobody wants to be criticized.
Exactly. Right.
Hey, I have an idea for you.
Right.
And that's like a better way to approach something. Like, so out there, please never use constructive criticism.
Yeah, 110%.
I'm sure you didn't do that.
No.
But that's not a good way to approach.
Yeah, like when somebody says that to me, I'm like, here we go.
Yeah.
Or even like, can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
That's kind of another one. Like,
that's how I started it.
Hammered.
Can you get that?
Because you know something bad's coming up. So here's a great acronym. Think before you speak. Is it true? Well, just because it's true doesn't mean it's okay.
Right.
For instance, I had a girlfriend one time, and this is absolutely true. She says, I can tell that you used to be good looking. That's where she started out with. But
that's so rude.
But she says, you've gotten really old. I mean, what happened to you? So
was she a lot younger than you?
No, a few months older than me, actually.
Wow.
So true. I got older, right? I don't look like I used to look.
Right. Nobody does.
Nobody does.
But then, is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Think before you speak.
Yeah.
That's true, right?
Because it's really...
How
long were you dating her for? Like that one date?
Just 3 months. Yeah.
Okay. But she said this toward the end or the beginning?
About the middle part of it.
But you should have drop kicked her right there. Yeah, that's your number one mistake.
You forgive people for saying stupid things sometimes.
I don't think she wasn't trying to hurt my feelings. Right. She was like stupid.
That's so rude.
It's very rude. Yes, it was very rude. But she just...
Did she look the same as she did back in the day?
No.
Yeah, no. So it's like I would have been like, touche. Well, ditto to you, girl.
I'm thinking, if I still look like that, I wouldn't be dating you.
There you go. That would have been the best.
Oh, you should have hit her with that.
Yeah.
She would have shut up real quick. I always wonder what I'm going to look like 30 years from now.
It's a bummer because you feel the same inside, but you're just not the same. Like if I'm in a picture with a bunch of old dudes, I blend right in.
Yeah.
It's the Where's Waldo for a senior edition. You
know? Right.
Yeah.
This is how bad, this is where I'm at now. I did a comedy show and this really pretty, you always want people to come up and say, hey, great show. And she says, hey, you're so funny. And then she says, and she's really pretty. You single? Yeah, dating somebody? No. And then she goes, well, really? I said, well, and then she goes, yeah, well, I'd really like you to meet my grandma.
Oh,
God.
So I'm dating grandmas now.
Really? Yeah. I know. Now you feel like...
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that,
Wrong. But it takes some getting used to. I mean, you pull up to the retirement home.
Yeah. We're going to get this soon, I'm telling you.
You know, my mom is, we just got her on Match. And she's kind of going through the same thing. She's like, I don't want to date an older guy. I'm like, Mom, you're older. You're 61.
Yeah, we forget. You know, we forget. I mean, the thing is, and then you go and you talk to a 30-year-old and people are like, oh, that's his daughter.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, my God, you know, but...
See, when I go out with my dad, people are like, how long have you guys been together?
Right.
I'm like, that's my fucking dad.
Right.
We're not together, but he looks young.
Right.
He looks like, okay, maybe... I haven't seen him in a while, but last time I saw him, he looked young. I haven't seen him in like 7 months. But what can a lot of aging happen in 7 months?
Well, maybe that's where his music, maybe that's why it sounds like that. I don't know.
He's always sounded like that. Oh. Yeah.
I can tell you really love your dad.
No, I love him. Really tell he's like literally the best thing that ever happened to me. Like sometimes I'll be like at family parties and I'll just be looking at him like, I don't know what I would do if I had a different dad.
Right.
You know, I love my mom too. Don't get me wrong, but we don't get along that well. I love her, but our personalities, I don't know if we're similar, but I hope we're not because I always tell her when we fight, I want to be nothing like you.
Yeah.
Well, and again, sticks and stones can break my bones.
Oh, she hits them too. Don't worry.
But words can
break. Stone for stone.
But words can break my heart. Yeah.
I've said some pretty awful things to her. We should have definitely started seeing a therapist years ago, probably. Yeah.
It happens when daughters have problems with their moms.
You know, and it's not just me because when I did a TV show like a month or two ago, I got really close with one of the producers and she was telling me she has two sons and a daughter. And I go, who do you get along with the most? She goes, like, don't get along with my daughter. I'm like, I feel like it's every mom and their daughter. At some point you just like... Yeah. Start to dwindle.
I wonder why.
I don't know, because I do see some people who are like best friends with their mom.
Yeah.
But when they're best friends with their mom, it's like the mom that's going to the club with them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, which is weird because I would never want to do that, but I go to the club with my dad.
Yeah.
But then I don't like going to the club with my single dad because now he's like a creep.
Right.
You know, like Gabby said she went out with him a couple months ago. She's like, I will never do that again.
Why?
Because he's just like...
He was hitting on everyone?
Every single person, but like people younger than Gabby.
Right.
Yeah, I'm like, no, no.
Well, that's what men do, you know, because like Nick said, we forget. You know, you forget because inside
you feel
young.
But it's gross
when
it's your dad.
No, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. But what I'm saying is men are attracted to younger women. It's always been the case.
But why, though?
Because
why can't you guys just be attracted to somebody your own
because
age?
Because I think it's...
Yeah, look.
It's like, a primitive thing, though. You know, I mean,
like, I think...
Because younger women represent, well, beauty, you know.
Yeah.
Youth, you know. Plus, I think on a primal level... It's probably because they're at their most productive years, or fertile years, rather, and they become attractive, by nature.
I just think it's embarrassing if you're with a woman and they think that you could be, it's like a father-daughter thing. I don't want that.
Oh, yeah.
I feel uncomfortable with
that.
Well,
yeah.
Anybody would.
But
you
some
know?
Women that's age really well, so why not?
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah.
But
that's
I think
true.
Usually the attraction to the younger women is mostly sexual. Because what are you going to talk to them about? You
I don't know. I was at Tao a couple weeks ago, and this guy who was probably 66 came up to me and was like, here's my my business card. He was like a lawyer. Can I take you out to eat? I was like, are you serious? I let him take me out to eat because I was hungry.
Yeah.
But we had absolutely nothing in common. I mean, he wasn't bad looking for a 66-year-old. Like,
right.
He
but
looked
it's
well.
Not about the looks.
Yeah,
know?
Like, but we just had nothing in common.
Right, right.
And he talked about his kids a lot, and I was like, how old are your kids? And he like said my age. I was like, I can't.
Right.
I can't do this.
And then the younger women talk about their parents in high school still, you know?
You mean older women?
No, younger women, you know? So what I'm saying is that the older people talk about their kids, the younger people talk about their parents. Because that's part of their lives, you
know? And then you kind of feel awkward because you're like sitting... Or at dinner with this older man, and then you keep referring, oh yeah, like my dad.
Right, right.
And you don't mean to, but it's like the conversation you're having, it's something like, oh yeah, yeah, my dad, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't. We have nothing in common.
No, there's nothing in common, you know?
Like, I feel like if I were to date older, which I should because I'm 20-year-old guys are not it needs to be like 38.
Right.
Like a little younger than 40.
Right. But that's not really older. You know what
it's
I'm
older
saying?
Than me, yeah.
Yeah, but 8 years is not that much.
I want someone who's like already had their run with the vagina and they're like ready to settle down.
Right.
That's the ideal situation.
Well, at 38, they're not ready to settle down.
So then they're never going to be ready to settle down because 38 is old as fuck for settling. Like, you already should have 2 kids by now, bro.
Right, right.
But, it seems like it, but when you're 38, to me, 38 sounds like really young at this point in my life.
Yeah.
Like, I really...
But at the time, did 38 seem young?
I felt like things were getting away from me.
What do you mean by that?
Just career-wise, I'm not at this point now. Yeah. By now, I should be here, and I'm not.
Right,
here comes
right.
40.
But I think that's everybody their whole lives, unless you're like a millionaire. And even a millionaire is probably like, well, I'm not where I should be. Yeah. I should be at a billion.
Right, you're right.
You know what I mean? So I feel like any point in your life, everyone's always going to think, well, I'm not where I should be.
Yeah, always waiting for that.
Yeah.
But I think the media, though, always... reinforces that an old guy can be with a young woman. I mean, you see that all the time.
But then it's opposite if a woman, an older woman, is with a younger guy. It's like appalling.
Right. But I mean, because you don't see a lot of that.
Yeah.
You know? That's what I'm saying.
But I feel like it happens a lot. It's just nobody's like a lot of my guy friends like sleep with older women like in their 50s.
Right. But it's sex. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not like they really have a relationship because I can't imagine a relationship. I mean, look, sometimes it can happen. I'm not saying that, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there are different points in their lives. You know, I mean, a 30-year-old is about to start a family and a 60-year-old is about to die.
Oh, my God. No. That's awful.
No, I'm kidding.
That's awful.
But, I mean, I'm already feeling I'm over the hill. What can I say?
Well, maybe I can get in some wills here. I better I'm about to die. Well, that's all right. Make every
day
count, right?
We're closer to death. Yeah.
But everyone's closer to death because anything can happen.
Right.
Like, you could literally be walking into Ralph's and somebody speeds into the parking lot, hits
of
and kills
course,
you.
Of course. You know, that's why I convinced myself that at least I've accomplished a lot that other people haven't, and that is lasting this long, getting this old. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't get the privilege. They go early.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we should be grateful to that. And I think the most important thing is to admit where you are in life and stop kidding yourself, you know? And when you accept it, then I think it's fine, you know.
Yeah.
And then you can move on.
Yeah, and try not to compare yourself with other people.
It's hard to do that now with social media.
So hard.
It's so hard. And you don't even know if that's like their real life. Like, I've literally met people that are like popping on Instagram.
Right.
Like, I've been following this guy for like 5 years now, and he's like one of the funniest guys that I follow on Instagram. Him and his girlfriend make like videos together, and they're just so funny. Then I went to Nice Guy. And I was like standing at the bar, and they were standing at the bar too. And I'm nosy, like I was by myself, so I was like eavesdropping on their conversation. And he's just like talking about how depressed he is and how fucked up his life is. And I was like, you just never know.
No, like, you never know.
They're putting on for social media that they're living the best goddamn life, and he's miserable, 30 drinks deep at Nice Guy.
Really?
Yeah.
I think everybody at a certain point in their lives looks at other people and envies them, you know.
Yeah.
But the thing is that. Only when you get older, you realize, what am I, what exactly am I like impressed by, you know, because you don't know. You just know that everybody's got a big package on their shoulder, a lot of baggage that people carry with them. So if you're seeing everything is nice and dandy, there's probably something going on in the back, background that you don't know.
Right.
You know,
or even on social media, these people that post like they're always having this fantastic life. If they don't have that, then they're probably miserable. They always probably have to be stimulated by something.
And like the comments and people boosting them up and like, oh my God, dude, I wish I was there with you, like on a yacht, whatever they're doing. Yeah. Everyone wants to be with you, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're happy.
Exactly.
You know, but they probably need that to feel good about themselves.
Yeah. Everybody needs something
else.
And
needing to be happy, I think, is a trap too, because happiness is based on circumstances. So you can't be happy all the time. And that's why, you know, I work with addicts, and a lot of them, they're happy when they're high because they forget about their problems. But then they come down,
and it's
not
like
happy.
Got
to get happy again.
Right.
So, so find some things that you can really count on through thick and thin, even when things aren't good.
Right.
You know you still love your dad.
Right.
You know you still love your mom. Those are the things that really matter.
And I know if I called him right now and I needed him, like he's going to like put the bullshit aside and like help me, you know, but he's just like can't. He can't hear that criticism.
Well,
and
he's really hurt, yeah.
Yeah, but now it's not just from one of his kids, it's from two of his kids. And I asked Gabby, I go, you see him on a regular basis. You are the closest to him. You need to step up now and make me and Marquise look less like assholes.
Right.
Because you're not saying anything is like basically aiding and abetting to somebody's problem.
Yeah.
It's like, for instance, my mom is the semi-alcoholic. She's Irish. She can take down like a half a bottle of vodka in a night, which is fine unless she gets angry.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, mom's drunk again.
Yeah.
But for the longest time, instead of talking about that, we would just be like, mom, here's your bottle of Three Olives. Like you have to like at some point be like, hey, like you're a psychopath when you drank. And maybe they'll calm down. Like she's now just realizing in her 60s, I need to like chill out when I drink.
I can't imagine having a parent that drinks, you know, and that make a fool of themselves.
I mean, she's super professional. She has an awesome job. It's like when she came home.
But they make fools out of themselves when they drink to, you know, like crazy.
Yeah. I actually worked in an insurance company years ago, and there was this woman there, her name was Eva, I'll never forget her. She was like Russian or something. She was a full-blown alcoholic. She came to work loaded. You could hear the alcohol bottles like clinking in her purse, and she would go to the bathroom for like 20 minutes out of a time. She would have like customers come in, and we'd all be like, Mike, you have to, because you can't technically fire someone for being an alcoholic, you can get sued.
Really?
Yeah, but I'm like, you need to give her another job. She should not be working with customers. He never fired her.
Really?
Never fired her. She ended up quitting. She showed up to work so drunk, drove to the liquor store because he like golfs every Thursday and Fridays.
Right.
So that was like her turn up days at work. Like she like turned the notch all the way up.
Yeah.
And one Thursday she went to the liquor store, drove back. And when she pulled into the parking lot, we were all like, hell no. She could kill a family.
Yeah.
So she fell asleep in her car with the car running. She was so drunk, and we called the cops on her.
Wow.
She got arrested.
Oh yeah.
And she wasn't in work for like 3 weeks, and then she came in, she like returned her keys and was like, I have to quit.
Did she just find out this now? She's gonna listen that you guys does she know that?
Who?
That you guys called the cops?
She knew.
Okay.
Yeah, she knew. She came and she was swearing at all of us, like in Russian. I was like, well, girl, you're going to thank us one day. Right. I wonder what happened to her. I always think back. Like, it's so funny. I have this tatted on my shoulder. It says, you'll stay with me. And I got it originally for a guy because I was like so devastated when I stopped talking to him. But honestly, it could be for all aspects of life. Like if I ever stop working here, I'll never forget you.
Oh, that's cool.
Aww.
Oh, very nice. Listen, in the last few, on that note, in the last few minutes, I want to cover Nick Arnett's books. You've written a couple books, Nick. A
couple books, and I have a new CD coming out probably in the next, I don't know, by the end of the year it'll be out.
Really?
That's comedy
cool.
CD, yeah.
So do you do like stand-up too?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
I do all clean comedy.
Well, yeah. That's good. Somebody
that's my
has
brand.
To,
well,
right?
you just do what fits you.
Right,
by the people exactly. That fits them to do other stuff. Their stuff is funny too, so I'm not saying right. That dirty right. Stuff is not, because it is funny.
Yeah.
But
it's kind of
yeah.
Repetitive though. A lot of people do the same dirty jokes.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah, it's just for me. It doesn't work for me. But right. Anyway, I have a book, Me, We, and Glee, How to Have a Great Attitude, Work as a Team, Keep Your Sense of Humor. Then I have the Book of Dude, which is just a silly joke book. And then I've got a couple comedy CDs. But nickarnett.com is where you can find me and the links to
spell
my
that.
Products. Arnette.
Yeah, there you go.
Nick Arnett.
I wouldn't have guessed the extra E on the end.
Yeah. Well, I even bought the domain with Arnett. So
oh, okay.
It'll still go.
Okay, that's
yeah,
good.
Yeah. And then follow me on social media, too. I'm pretty active on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. You can find me there. So that'd be great if you could follow me or friend me even. That'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great guy. Funny guy. Interesting. Now, I was wondering, how did you get into the... working with addicts? How did you get into that?
I just fell into it. I came to town here to be an actor, and so then I had to became a substitute teacher to just, you know, to survive.
Right.
And so one of my assignments was actually with these guys. It was part of the LEOSD at the time, and then I left, and then several years later the LEOSD wasn't there anymore, but they knew me well, so they asked me if I'd come in and run that program. So,
really?
Yeah.
Very
uh-huh.
Nice.
That's yeah.
Cool. How long have you been doing it now?
6.5 years now.
Really?
Yeah. And it's never been more difficult.
Really?
Never been more so, yeah.
Why is that?
Just a lot more problems. The drugs are getting stronger.
Everyone's just mixing everything these days, and it's just so bad.
Yeah, these poor kids. They most of them really have never had a good chance in life. They
really?
Just weren't brought up well.
So that's how they end up with heavy drugs and stuff like that. It's usually
a lot of
terrible upbringing and problems, probably in the family, in the environment, right?
And another common one is they just end up meeting some kids that influence them in the wrong way. They were doing fine, and then maybe junior high or high school, they meet this group of kids and. Their
it's
life
a wrap.
Is never the
yeah,
same.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
That's my biggest fear for Marcellus.
Yeah.
Is he'll just hang out with the wrong crowd one time. But right. I feel like we instill him pretty well. Like anytime he swears or does anything bad, mom's like, Gabby goes, I'm going to call the cops. You're going to go to jail. And he like freaks out. Like he's like, I don't want to go.
He's always going to have this fear then.
But I was telling Sam the other day is one thing that I'm thankful for is I don't know if, because I never really had like the drug conversation with my parents. It wasn't like really like a conversation that I remember sitting down and having, but thank God it was just like something I never got into.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm.
Like even in LA in the acting and entertainment industry, it is so crazy how much drugs floats around. Like I feel like I can't even go to a house party without somebody doing 20 fucking lines of coke.
Wow.
It's insane. I told them on 4th of July, everyone, like it was like pizza, tacos, blow. Just like on the counter. And people would just come up right across the counter. I'm like,
what?
I was like the only person not on drugs.
Did you feel any pressure or were they
no,
giving you
never.
A hard time? Like,
nope.
Hey, why aren't you doing it?
No, it's not like that. I mean, a couple guys will be creepy about it.
Right.
Like,
but
do you want
some? At this age, I don't think you have that peer pressure to
no, it's like you're in
it
or you're not. I mean, a couple guys will be a little bit pressured in like the Molly and stuff because like girls loosen up when they do Molly. But I think after I say no, motherfuckers get a little scared because when I say no, I mean no.
Yeah.
No, back the fuck up. I'm not doing it. But I don't feel, I never feel pressure ever. Ever. I did coke once in my life, didn't get addicted, hated it. Did Molly right. once in my life, hated it, never do it again.
Yeah.
I'll smoke weed from time to time.
Yeah.
But I'm a wine girl.
What's Molly now? Is it like pills or something?
It's supposed to be like the crystallized form of ecstasy without chemicals, but now everyone's mixing it with chemicals, so it's not really what it's supposed to be.
I'll pass.
Yeah, no thanks.
Now, Nick, do you ever see improvement with some of the kids?
With some, certainly not all, and all recovery programs are like that. And now it's a lot shorter. Our program used to be up to 12 to 14 months, but now mostly it's funded through drug Medi-Cal now. So 3 to 6 months maximum, and it's really not enough time.
That's not enough time to change at all, I don't think.
Really?
So that's been...
So what's with the 30 days in rehab and stuff like that? Why are people wasting their time then? 30 days is not enough. Right.
Well, 3 months is 3 months is 90 days.
Right.
Right. So, but usually rehab is 30 days, isn't it?
A lot of it is, with insurance. That's generally most private insurance. Well, not most. I can't speak for most, but a lot of it's 30 days, yes.
Right.
That's crazy. I didn't know rehab was only 30 days.
Yeah. But at least it gets you in that framework of working with groups and things like that.
And there are support groups. People are serious about it, but it's just really difficult. That's it's an addiction, and it's...
It's very uncomfortable to deal with it.
And
you get used to it and you have to change your life.
You have to replace it with something that's even more important to you than that.
Right.
You've got to find that thing. That's the trick. That's what you got to do. You have, no matter what it is, you have to replace it with something that you value even more.
Yeah. Right. That's all habits and addiction.
Exactly.
Right?
Or any habits, bad habits, not even, not
I even think they should have kept that show on air, Intervention. Yeah. That show was crazy.
Really?
Yeah. And that was like some real, I don't think that was scripted reality TV at all. I think that was some, like, they would show people overdosing and it would like, it literally be like, why would you ever want to do that? I think it helped. Yeah. I watched that when I was in high school. I think that helped me too, without being like, I'm all set. Like, I don't need to, I'm good.
Yeah. Right.
I'm so good.
I know. Maybe more people should see that, you know, see people suffering in addiction.
Yeah.
And say, this is not for me.
I used to work at that same insurance agency. He had somebody who used to be a heroin addict there, but every day she came in later than the rest of us because she went to the methadone clinic before work. Right. But she would sleep at her desk because the methadone would put her to sleep.
Wow.
And I'm like, you're literally paying two people in this office who don't work.
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, I felt maybe he's like, felt like he needed to save them or something. But I just never understood it. She'd be like, literally typing but sleeping. It's like she came down to this, like, I don't even know what to call it, but I used to be like, what the hell am I looking at? But motivation never to do anything.
You've really worked with some interesting people.
Yeah, my whole life has been interesting. Seriously, it's been quite the roller coaster.
She knows to find the crowd.
Yeah. I feel like everything I've seen and done has been like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
This is exactly what I'm not supposed to be doing.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, we are out of time. Nick Arnett, The Book of Dude, and Me, We, and Glee.
Yes.
And you can find those, I'm sure, everywhere books
are
sold.
And they're on Amazon. Just search for Nick Arnett. That's a lot easier than all my products will
come
up. Or my website, nickarnett.com.
Yeah, you go to Google, you can find out everything you ever wanted to about anybody.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Nick. Well, thank you so much for joining
us. Great being here. I look forward to coming back.
Of course. Much continued success to you.
Thank you
for all the work you do with the kids and everything. I mean, that's like amazing, you know. And you're volunteering to do that?
Not volunteering. I'm volunteering for some school projects in Africa, but those are different in Kenya. But
you get paid a little bit. You have to pay your bills.
A little bit. It covers my health insurance.
There you go.
That's what it is.
Hey, at least it covers something.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Danny, have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Everybody, enjoy yourselves out there, and we'll see you all on Monday.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.